Welcome to the Bible in 260 podcast, the podcast that brings you through the entire Bible in 260 days. Have you ever wanted to read the whole Bible but struggled to do so? This podcast is meant to help you do it. With 5 15 to 20 minute episodes per week, you will hear the entire Bible read to you. There will also be occasional brief notes to help explain context, as well as a concluding question or thought to consider. So welcome to the Bible in 260 podcast, your journey through the Bible in 260 days. Welcome to episode 237. In our passages today, as we finish the book of Zechariah and then Psalm 94 and 2 John, we see this warning and wonder of shed blood. There's a lot of strange imagery maybe for you if you're new to this and haven't read Zechariah before, but we have imagery of a shepherd that's struck, one who is pierced, a fountain that's filled with an ability to cleanse people from their sin. And all of these things, when you put them together, show us the warning of God's ability to bring justice on those who do evil, but also the wonder of God having the shepherd, the good shepherd, have his blood shed to cleanse people from sin who trust in him. And so today's episode is called The Warning and Wonder of Shed Blood. Let's begin today in Zechariah chapter 12. This is an oracle, the Lord's message concerning Israel. The Lord, he who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth, who forms the human spirit within us person, says, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup that brings dizziness to all the surrounding nations. Indeed, Judah will also be included when Jerusalem is besieged. Moreover, on that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy burden for all the nations, and all who try to carry it will be seriously injured. Yet all the peoples of the earth will be assembled against it. On that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will pay close attention to the house of Judah, but will strike all the horses of the nations with blindness. Then the leaders of Judah will say to themselves, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are a means of strength to us through their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. On that day I will make the leaders of Judah like an igniter among sticks and a burning torch among sheaves, and they will burn up all the surrounding nations right and left. Then the people of Jerusalem will settle once more in their place, the city of Jerusalem. The Lord also will deliver the homes of Judah first, so that the splendor of the kingship of David and of the people of Jerusalem may not exceed that of Judah. On that day the Lord himself will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the weakest among them will be like mighty King David, and the dynasty of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. So on that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour out on the kingship of David and the population of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look to me, the one they have pierced. They will lament for him as one laments for an only son. And there will be a bitter cry for him, like the bitter cry for a firstborn. On that day the lamentation in Jerusalem will be as great as the lamentation at Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, the clan of the royal household of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the clan of the family of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the clan of the descendants of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the clan of the Shemites by itself and their wives by themselves, all the clans that remain, each separately with their wives. In that day there will be a fountain opened up for the dynasty of David and the people of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. And also on that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will remove the names of the idols from the land, and they will never again be remembered. Moreover, I will remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. Then if anyone prophesies in spite of this, his father and mother to whom he was born will say to him, you cannot live, for you lie in the name of the Lord. Then his father and mother to whom he was born will run him through with a sword when he prophesies. Therefore on that day each prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies, and will no longer wear the hairy garment of a prophet to deceive the people. Instead he will say, I am no prophet. Indeed, I am a farmer, for a man has made me his indentured servant since my youth. Then someone will ask him, what are these wounds on your chest? And he will answer, some that I received in the house of my friends. Awake, sword, awake against my shepherd, against the man who is my associate, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Strike the shepherd, that the flock may be scattered. I will turn my hand against the insignificant ones. It will happen in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 of the people in it will be cut off and die, but 1/3 will be left in it. Then I will bring the remaining 1/3 into the fire. I will refine them like silver is refined, and will test them like gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer. I will say, these are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. A day of the Lord is about to come, when your possessions will be divided as plunder in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to wage war. The city will be taken, its houses plundered, and the women raped. Then half of the city will go into exile, but the remainder of the people will not be taken away. Then the Lord will go to battle and fight against those nations, just as he fought battles in ancient days. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives that lies to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west, leaving a great valley. Half the mountain will move northward and the other half southward. Then you will escape through my mountain valley, for the valley of the mountains will extend to Azal. Indeed, you will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come with all his holy ones with him. On that day there will be no light. The sources of light in the heavens will congeal. It will happen in one day, a day known to the Lord, not in the day or in the night, but in the evening there will be light. Moreover, on that day living waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It will happen both in summer and in winter. The Lord will then be king over all the earth. And that day the Lord will be seen as one with a single name. All the land will change and become like the Rift Valley from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be raised up and will stay in its own place from the Benjamin Gate to the site of the first gate and on the corner gate, and from the Tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses. And people will settle there, and there will be no longer be threat of a divine extermination. Jerusalem will dwell in security. But this will be the nature of the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will decay while they stand on their feet. Their eyes will rot away in their sockets, and their tongues will dissolve in their mouths. On that day there will be great confusion from the Lord among them. They will seize each other and attack one another violently. Moreover, Judah will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered up, gold, silver, and clothing in great abundance. This is the kind of plague that will devastate horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all other animals in those camps. Then all who survive from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem will go up annually to worship the king, the Lord of heaven's armies, and to observe the Feast of Shelters. But if any of the nations anywhere on earth refuse to go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of heaven's armies, they will get no rain. If the Egyptians will not do so, they will get no rain. Instead, there will be the kind of plague that the Lord inflicts on any nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Shelters. This will be the punishment of Egypt and of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Shelters. On that day, the bells of the horses will bear the inscription, Holy to the Lord. The cooking pots in the Lord's temple will be as holy as the bowls in front of the altar. Every cooking pot in Jerusalem and Judah will become holy in the sight of the Lord of heaven's armies, so that all who offer sacrifices may come and use some of them to boil their sacrifices in them. On that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of heaven's armies. Well, there's a number of predictions that come out of these passages from Zechariah 12 to 14, ones that are mentioned in the gospel accounts of Jesus' own death, that he would be pierced, that he would be the shepherd who was struck and the flock would scatter. It's the disciples scattering. And that there is a fountain that cleanses the people. The fountain, in one sense, filled with Jesus' blood that cleanses people from all their sin and unrighteousness. And yet at the same time, there's incredible warnings in this passage that those who do not trust in God, those who turn against him, those who refuse to bend the knee to God, to bend the knee to Jesus, will feel and experience God's wrath and his judgment against them. Because God is a holy God who will bring justice. And so as we see and think about all those things, we do see the warning and the wonder of shed blood. And that turns us now to Psalm 94, which is a psalm that praises God for his justice, that he brings justice on those who reject him and on those who do evil to others. Psalm 94. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, reveal your splendor. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back the proud. O Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked celebrate? They spew out threats and speak defiantly. All the evildoers boast. O Lord, they crush your people. They oppress the nation that belongs to you. They kill the widow and resident foreigner, and they murder the fatherless. Then they say, the Lord does not see this. The God of Jacob does not take notice of it. Take notice of this, you ignorant people, you fools. When will you ever understand? Does the one who makes the human ear not hear? Does the one who forms the human eye not see? Does the one who disciplines the nations not punish? He is the one who imparts knowledge to human beings. The Lord knows that people's thoughts are morally bankrupt. How blessed is the one whom you instruct, O Lord, the one whom you teach from your law, in order to protect him from times of trouble until the wicked are destroyed. Certainly the Lord does not forsake his people. He does not abandon the nation that belongs to him. For justice will prevail, and all the morally upright will be vindicated. Who will rise up to defend me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? If the Lord had not helped me, I would soon have dwelt in silence of death. If I say, my foot is slipping, your loyal love, O Lord, supports me. When worries threaten to overwhelm me, your soothing touch makes me happy. Cruel rulers are not your allies, those who make oppressive laws. They conspire against the blameless and condemn to death the innocent. But the Lord will protect me, and my God will shelter me. He will pay them back for their sin. He will destroy them because of their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. And so we have this psalm proclaiming God's justice and yet also his mercy to those who trust in him. And it leads us then to our final passage today, the second letter of John, which is just one single chapter we'll read and see what John tells us about the warning and wonder of shed blood. From the elder to an elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I alone, but also those who know the truth, because of the truth that resides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly because I found some of your children living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded us. But now I ask you, lady, not as if I were writing a new commandment to you, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, thus you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, people who do not confess Jesus as Christ coming in the flesh. This person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out, so that you do not lose the things we have worked for, but receive a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him any greeting, because the person who gives him a greeting shares in his evil deeds. Though I have many other things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come and visit you and speak face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. So John calling the people to persevere in the midst of trial and struggle, and to do so because they belong to Jesus Christ, and the reason they belong to Jesus Christ is because his shed blood has cleansed them from all their sin, and in doing so has shown them the incredible love that is meant to be then shown by those who have received it.
Thanks for listening to the Bible in 260 podcast. May what you have heard speak to your heart and mind today. The scriptures quoted are from the Net Bible, http://netbible.com, copyright 1996-2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. Our theme song for the podcast is The Call by Emily Ruth. You can find The Call and other music by Emily Ruth on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you find your music.